45 now. I think I've got one there. No, 45 next. We're going to read that one instead of skipping over it. Psalm 45. This is where the Father calls the Son God. Verse 6. Psalm 45, verse 6. This is the Father talking to the Son. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter, a scepter of righteousness. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, even your God. You know, Jesus is God, and Jesus has a God that he fears and loves and serves. The God that he fears and loves and serves made him God over us, over angels, over everything. Except himself. The Father doesn't have a God. He doesn't have anybody he fears and loves and serves. But the Son does.
God named all his children.
Yeah. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Jesus is the happiest person in the Holy Ghost. God's made him happier than you are. That doesn't mean you can't get happier. But no matter how happy you get, Jesus is happier than you are. Amen. And he's happy that you're happy. Praise God. Every time you get so happy you can't stand it, it makes him even happier. You can never catch up with him. Just be like him. Praise God. Glory to God. He said in one psalm, you made my tongue glad. He did. Praise God. Has the Holy Ghost ever made your tongue happy? You are my son. Jesus happier. Glory. Praise God. Amen. My. All right. Next. 55. You saw all this when you read Psalms, didn't you? Psalm 55. Talking about Judas again. Verse 12. It was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have taken it. I could have borne it then. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hidden myself from him. But it was you. Look how Jesus thought about Judas. A man, my own equal. My guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Judas spent some quality time with Jesus, and Judas spent some quality time together. They had wonderful conversations about the things of God. They walked together to the temple to offer the sacrifices, whatever else needed to be done. He loved Judas, and Judas loved him. He said, if it was somebody that hated me, I could have hid myself. He knew Judas loved him. But Judas loved something else too. Money. He loved money more than he loved Jesus. And eventually traded the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, which was a pretty big chunk of change then. Several years worth of labor to earn that much. And it just broke Jesus' heart. I could have taken it to have been somebody that I didn't love. Let's look at Psalm 69. Some of these we won't read. Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without any reason for it are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. They have all the power. And then I restored that which I took not away. Jesus paid for somebody else's error. He didn't take communion with God away from people. They forfeited it when they disobeyed God's command. Eve ate the fruit. Adam ate the fruit that God said not to eat of. But he paid the price to get it back. Oh God, look at how Jesus felt. There are psalms where Jesus felt sinful. Jesus felt foolish. Thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord, O God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. This is when he's praying for us. Don't let them be disappointed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for your sake I have borne reproach. Shame has covered my face. My, he bore our shame. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, an alien to my mother's children. For the zeal of your house has eaten me up. When you were given by God a little bit of a flame, a little bit of a zeal for God, who'd you become a stranger to? Who'd you become an alien to? Who no longer understood you? That's Jesus. The world still hates him. The zeal of your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Everybody that really hates God hates the Holy Ghost. Because that's what Jesus is. Jesus purchased it. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment. I became a proverb to them, just a joke. They that sit in the gate speak against me. I was the song of the drunkards. Even the ones that are despised, despised me. That's how low I was in men's opinion. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. That's important. Pray in time. Don't wait till it's too late to pray. Pray when it's time to pray. Call upon God while he's near. Seek him while he may be found. Opportunity will not be there forever to get right with God. It will not be there forever. Seek God while he can be found. Jesus was wise to call in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. Let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Amen. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before thee. Reproach has broken my heart. Reproach has broken his heart. What was he talking about? He was talking about being laughed at. He was talking about being despised, slandered, demon possessed, cursed by God. He was talking about being ashamed, walking down the road because of the way the people looked at him and avoided him. The way he had no friends. Even his own disciples eventually all turned against him. Ran from him anyway. To avoid the disgrace that was coming. But reproach got to him. How long can you be ridiculed and made fun of and laughed at in public and humiliated before it gets to you? It got to Jesus. It broke his heart. And a broken spirit is a heavy thing. I don't think his spirit was ever broken, though. I think just his heart was. Because God said in Isaiah, "Behold my servant." And he went on to describe Jesus. And he said, "He will not be disappointed." Discouraged. He will not be discouraged. Jesus hurt. His heart was broken. He wept. He was acquainted with grief. Despised. But God would not allow him to be discouraged. That's a wonderful thing. What verse am I on? Thank you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. They gave me gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Now this is one of the most, there couldn't be a more frightening prayer to pray than what Jesus does next. Because this is the vengeance of God for how they treated him. When it says, let their table, what was the table of the Jews? The table in the temple. Where the priest had the holy bread, showbread, bread of presence, bread of God's presence. Let their table become a snare before them. And that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. God gave Israel the table, golden altar, the tabernacle, the temple, the altar for sacrifice, the candlesticks, the holy room, for their welfare. To prepare them to be able to recognize this mysterious man who was coming. And when he came, they didn't recognize him because they weren't keeping the moral commandments of God. And so when they finished doing what they did with Jesus, Jesus said, let them get stuck on that. Let them cling to that table instead of me. Leave them out. Let them stop right there where they are. I'll turn to the Gentiles. My, this is a frightful prayer. I hope Jesus never prays to us, prays to the Father about us. Don't let them grow anymore. Don't let them learn. Don't speak to them anymore. Let what blessings you've given them become their God. Let them worship those past blessings instead of staying alive with us. That's what they did. They got trapped in their past blessings. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. That's with fear. And no matter where the Jews have gone on this earth, they've been made to fear. Where they are now, they're made to fear because they rejected the Holy One of Israel. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate. And it was for about 2,000 years. The Romans kicked them out of Palestine, made it a capital offense for any Jew to live in the Promised Land. That's where the Arabs moved in. What they call Palestinians now. A few of them moved into that territory that the Jews were kicked out of. So they think it's their land. They've been there 2,000 years. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. My, what a prayer. That happened. Paul said they went around pursuing their own righteousness and didn't get to the righteousness of God. Because his son asked him, don't let them come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. Well, he did. Amen. Whatever the Son asked him, he did.
Yes, he did.
I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that has horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion. He will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. Praise God. Psalm 89. Praise God. Verse 18. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in a vision to thy Holy One, and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. That's Jesus. He is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his right hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also, I will make him my firstborn. That's Jesus, the firstborn among many brethren. He's the first one to be born again. I will make him my firstborn. Praise God. That means he was already there. And God then made him his firstborn. Jesus was already there, and then he was born again. He was born again when the Holy Ghost got there, and he became the firstborn in this holy family we're in. Firstborn among many brethren. Praise God. Where am I? Higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep before him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever. That's us. And his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, I will visit their transgression with a rod. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Praise God. My covenant will I not break. This is an everlasting covenant, an eternal one. One that's going to last through eternity, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. Praise God. Now, even the devil knows that these things refer to Jesus. In Jesus' temptation, Satan quoted from Psalms and tried to get Jesus to do something against God's will. And he quoted from Psalm 91. He said, you know it's written about you in Psalm 91. What we'll read. Psalm 91. Start in verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Talking... Whoever this is talking, this prophet, this psalmist here, is talking to the Son. He doesn't even understand what he's saying. Because you made God, who's also my refuge, your refuge, this is going to happen. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep thee in all your ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou trip, dash thy foot against a stone. That's what Satan used. He's tried to get Jesus to jump off the top of the temple to prove to everybody he was God's son. He said, you know the angels will catch you. You know what God said about you. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. It is also written. That's why you need to know the Bible. So you'll know what is also written. It is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Praise God. This is about Jesus. Everybody in hell knows it's about Jesus. Everybody in heaven knows it's about Jesus. All demons know it's about Jesus. All wise men in God know it's about Jesus. The only place there's any ignorance or doubt about it is people that don't have faith in God living now. Everybody else and every other part of God's creation knows it's all about Jesus. And the sooner we find out it's about Jesus, the happier we get.
Amen.
The safer we are. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Then the Father gets excited. He talks. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him. Well, that's about as long as you can get. Eternal. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise God. 102. Talking about those people that shall come again. Verse 18. Who is this written for? This shall be written for the generation to come. It's written for us. And the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. Amen. We are a created people. Praise God. Praise. Said we'd do that. Praise God. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed unto death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the people are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. This is the Son talking. He shortened my days. You know, when sometimes when you tell your small child, you know, I'm going to have to do this over here. Now, you may not like it, but this is what we need to do. This. Oh, don't do that. And you say, oh, look, you've got this toy and that toy and this toy and that toy. You know, you've got all these other things. This isn't anything much. This is how the Father talks to the Son here. Watch this. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, oh my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. And the Father said, Son, your years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed, but you are the same, and your years shall have no end. Praise God. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Don't worry about dying. You're going to live forever. You're going to be the head of everything. You've got this and you've got that. You've got this. You've got everything. It's all yours. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? It was a father and a son. 109 is the other terrifying prayer about Judas. The other was prayer against the Jews for how they treated him. This is about a prayer just about Judas. Psalm 109. Hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compassed me about with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. I didn't do any evil to them. For my love, they are my adversaries. But I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Look at this. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. I know Jesus said there was one that would never be forgiven, but any sin in any particular person's life can become unpardonable if it provokes God to that extent. When Judas had provoked God's wrath by betraying Jesus, he prayed. But even his prayer was just more sin to God. It was all shut. Whatever he did was evil. It went against his record. And he was close enough to Jesus and had enough understanding to know that it would be better for him to be dead than alive, so that he could stop adding to his record. So he went and killed himself. God save us from provoking Jesus like that. Amen. The Father. Let his days be few. He died. He died quick. And let another take his place, take his office. Let his children be fatherless and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. That's what happened to Judas' children. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath. He loved money, but his children didn't have any. The extortioner got it. And let the strangers spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him. Nobody to help him. No friend in heaven or earth. He was already despised because he was a friend of Jesus. So the only place he could have gone for mercy was Jesus' disciples who also loved him. And he was cut off from them because he had betrayed Jesus. He couldn't go to the people that he betrayed Jesus to. He went to them with the money and said, I've sinned. I've betrayed innocent blood. And they said, well, that's your tough luck, buddy. We got him now. And he was holding the bag. That's what he had loved and sold his soul for. He took that bag and threw it in the floor of the temple and ran out and killed himself. No friends anywhere. No help anywhere. None in heaven or in earth. Neither let there be any favor to his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off. And in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord. My, he's cursing the whole family of Judas. And let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Don't ever let her get the Holy Ghost. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth, because he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and the needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. Wasn't that what I was saying last night? If you don't want it, don't worry. You won't get it. If you prefer to be cursed, okay, it's going to happen. But if you want to be blessed and not cursed, that can happen. Love blessing. Love being good. Love goodness from God. Love mercy. Love opportunity to call on God. Love the opportunity. Love eternal life. Love hope. Love good things. Hate bad things. What you love, you're going to get. He didn't rejoice in blessing. Take it away from him. As he clothed with himself with cursing, like as with a garment, so let it come into his bowels like water and like oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as the garment which covereth him, this cursing he loved, and for a girdle wherewith he is girded continually. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and of them that speak evil against my soul. But do thou for me, O God, the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good. Deliver thou me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down as the locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth for fatness. He didn't have any flesh much left. I became also a reproach to them. When they looked upon me, they shaked their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to thy mercy, that they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. Let them curse, but bless thou. That's what he was interested in. He knew men could be wrong. They could curse him, and it might not be true. So he just asked God to bless him, because he knew that'd be right. When they arise, let them be ashamed. That is, when they're risen from the dead, let them not receive what they think they're going to get. But let thy servant rejoice. Let mine adversaries be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Praise God. I will greatly praise him. That's how happy Jesus is. He is not ashamed to greatly praise God. Amen. Where do you see people greatly praising God?
I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Oh, praise ye the Lord. Oh, blessed be his holy name. Amen. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude. You know, if you get a multitude together, and they're all praising God, Jesus stands out. He'll still stand out. He'll still be the leading one. Because he's happier. No. He's the last one who want to stop and eat some manna. For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. Praise God. 110. Now I want to read Matthew 12 first before we get to Psalm 110. Because Jesus quotes Psalm 110 and explains it to us. Matthew 12, I think it is. Mark 12, sorry. Mark 12. Quoting the psalm we're about to read. 12:35. Some people were trying to trick Jesus and trap him in his words, so he asked them a question. Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, why do the scribes say that Christ is the son of David? Why do they say that? For David himself said in Psalm 110, by the Holy Ghost, look, he said it by the Holy Ghost. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now, the Lord is all capital letters there, the first one, that's the Father. The Lord said unto my Lord, that's the Son, small letters. The Father said to the Son, or the Lord said to my Lord, well, when David said the words, the Lord said to my Lord, David is calling the Son my Lord. Okay? See what Jesus is saying? David, verse 37, David therefore himself calleth him Lord, this Christ, this Messiah. And whence then is the Messiah David's son? Why do the scribes say that this Christ is David's son when David is calling him Lord? The Father doesn't call his son Lord or Sir. The Son calls the Father that. They never answered that question. But we can, because now we know about Jesus. Psalm 110. This is the Holy Ghost speaking by David, Jesus said. The Lord, all capital letters, that's Jehovah. The Lord said unto my Lord. What did the Father say to the Son? Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord has sworn and has not repent, and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever. Who's he talking to? He's talking to his son. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So that's the Father and the Son there in that psalm right there, and Jesus explained it. He's talking about the Messiah. Talking about his son. David didn't understand it, but Jesus did. Psalm 118, choosing Jesus to be the head of the church. The stone which the builders rejected. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is Jehovah's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Look how Jesus explained it in Matthew 21. Jesus told a parable, starting in verse 33, to these men that were trying to trap him. He said, "Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about to keep the wild animals out and other animals, digged a wine press in it, built a tower, and rented it, let it out to husbandmen, and went to a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandman that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one, killed another, stoned another." That's what happened to God's prophets when he sent them to Israel to get the fruit of his labor. So the servants of God went back to the vineyard, and it says in Isaiah chapter 5, I think it is, that the vineyard of the Lord of hosts was Judah, Israel. And they were producing bitter fruit, according to that parable. But this one, he just sent his servants to the husbandmen, who were the leaders of Israel, to get the fruit, to teach them the right ways and let Israel produce fruit to God. And they killed one, stoned another, persecuted others. And in verse 36, he said, well, he got that message. And the owner said, well, I'll send more servants than the first time. And when they got there, the husbandmen and their servants did the same thing to them. At last, the last of all, he sent to them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said to among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. We'll own it all ourselves if the son's dead. So they caught him, cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. Then Jesus asked these evil-hearted leaders of Israel, he said, what do you think? When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard comes back, when that owner comes back, what do you think he's going to do to those husbandmen? And they said unto him, well, he'll miserably destroy those wicked men and rent out his vineyard to other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season. And Jesus more or less said, that's right. That's right. And he said, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. That's us.
Amen.
It was taken away from them and given to another group to produce fruit to God. And whosoever shall fall on this stone that you reject shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Those are our only two choices, Sammy. We fall on the rock and be broken so that he can mend us, or we refuse and let it fall on us.
Amen.
Those are the only two choices we've got.
Amen.
I like what Uncle Joe said, because he found out. He found out after God had broken him with cancer. He was with tears. He stood up in a meeting and said, Brother Clark, I found out Jesus doesn't pass out anything but broken bread. He broke the bread and gave to his disciples. Hallelujah. If Jesus is ever going to use you, you're going to be broken. They can't use a horse unless it's broken. It's too wild. You got to break something inside. Ooh, namasita, namasia. Something inside has to be broken so that it can listen to commandments and be useful. Not be wild and on its own. The will of the flesh has to be broken. Self-will has to be broken. Pride has to be broken. Stubbornness has to be broken. And when it is broken, it's useful. Fit for the master's use. And what a relief it is when it breaks. All you can say is thank you. Saddle me up, Jesus. Let's go for a ride. Which direction, Lord? Where do you want to go? Where do you want me to take it? Praise God. Verse 45, when the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard this parable, they perceived that he spake of them. Duh. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they didn't repent. They wanted to arrest him. When they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. Mark says the common people heard him gladly. But he had a problem with those husbandmen in the vineyard. Praise God. That's Jesus in Psalms. A lot of it. And Psalms has a lot more to offer than that. Praise God. As soon as we knew what the words meant. As soon as we knew what the words meant. You see it in little children. One time, Amy and a relative of ours, both of them little bitty girls, they were out in the backyard just fussing at each other and fussing, and Daddy was standing at his kitchen door and back looking at the backyard, and I was standing there, and he said, "It just shows you that the old man can be in little girls." Starts out young. We're born with that stubborn, self-will, self-centered nature. You don't have to teach a baby to think that it's the only thing going. You don't have to teach a baby to be self-centered. You don't have to teach a baby to care about itself. That's all it cares about. Being comfortable, fed, and without pain. That's the nature that has to be broken. To realize it's not about you. It's about Jesus. My second grade teacher, Miss Parham, taught us something about a man that had a sign in his house, and all it had on it was 1, 2, 3. And visitors would come to his house, and they looked, and most of them wouldn't say anything. And finally, he had a visitor in his house, and they said, What does that sign mean? He said, "Well, it's just a reminder." A reminder of what? He says, "Just a reminder of God is number one, others are number two, and I'm number three." Praise God. I've never forgotten that. I've never forgotten that picture since the second grade. 1, 2, 3. That's the kind of life you have to teach a baby. That's what you have to teach children. Because to them, it's 1, 1, 1. Me. Praise God. I'm thankful for Jesus teaching us. I hope this goes in deep. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Hallelujah. Little ones to Him belong. I thank God I feel little. Because we are weak, but He is strong. Jesus is our hero. Praise God. Praise God. Darren, you don't feel like singing that song about I was among you and even on Calvary's Hill. You remember that song you wrote one time? Don't be shy. You're just among friends.
Long ago, far away, I was among you, doing my Father's will, doing right, loving life, I always kept for him, even on Calvary's Hill. So if I was suffering and I fell alone on that tree, I cried, Father, I love you, I miss you, I need you, please don't abandon me. He said, hold on. I am here, you are there, it's still the same story. You have His Spirit too, holding you, touching you, keeping you holy, making you pure. Hold on to my spirit, hold on to my life, hold on to all that you see. Don't be discouraged, let go of your care. I know that my Father loves me when I say hold on to me. If you should suffer, and sometimes you suffer for me, if you cry out to Father, I love you, I need you, please don't abandon me. He'll say, hold on. Last of all, to whom I've called, there is a blessing, casting away all fear, looking on toward your God and fearing Him only, is keeping Him ever near. Hold on to that spirit, hold on to that light, hold on for you and for me. Love judgment, love mercy, love feelings, love life, love everything that you see. That's how you hold on. Hold on to that spirit. Hold on to that life. Hold on for you and for me. Love judgment, love mercy, love feelings, love life. Love everything that you see. That's how you hold on to me.
So grand,
You'll be where you were meant to be. And I will take your hand. Life is full of questions running through the mind, and I've had some of my own. What is life about, and where do I fit in? Why do I feel so all alone? And I ask the question, why do I just not fit? And the Lord, He answered me and said, this world is not my home. I was lost and lonely, and He heard my cry, and He made for me a way. Ever leaning toward Him, and He told me, it's made me who I am today. And I ask the question, why do I just not feel it? And the Lord, He answered me and said, this world is not my home. Now I have a family, and they have me too, and God's Spirit makes us one. And when we're not together, we are not alone. We have a Father and a Son. And we have God's Spirit, and it's there to lead us on, and it helps us understand that this world is not our home. And I have God's Spirit, and it's there to lead me on, and it helps me understand that this world